So today is going to be really a reflection of what they just spoke about, this song that goes through our hearts and our minds and our ears, songs that God has put there to help us to remember Him and also to reflect on Him and to praise Him. And it's all found in the scripture that we have today. I just want to say it's good to be back today with all of you. I missed two Sundays for the first time ever. I mean, in 10 years being here, it was the first time I missed two, like, successively. And I have to admit, it was a little bit strange. But anyway, I kept track, and I saw that you were doing so well, and I was happy to see the pictures and the response to the speakers who came. And so I know you were very blessed and didn't have any worries at all. I was just grateful to see God working here and to know that you were handling things so well. One of the things that happened while I was in Hawaii is that I became more relaxed. God gave me a test this week. I had to drive somebody into Manhattan. And I have to say that I didn't really completely pass the test of being, you know, like, relaxed and maintaining the relaxed feeling I had. But I didn't raise my voice. I only said, "Are you going to turn already?" one time.
Could have been much worse.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. But so I knew that I had, you know, changed during the week, and I was grateful for the chance to have that time with our family. And, but it really is good to be back. Joking aside, and I do feel the peace of God, and it's an important thing that we do have time like that to kind of lay back. The Hawaiians say aloha all the time, and there's this very, very wonderful breeze that you may have heard about, like the tropical or the Hawaiian breeze that comes, and it just really makes you feel good. And that comes from the Lord. And so we are grateful for that, too. And so I'd like to talk to you. I'm going to try not to be too relaxed when I speak today so that no one falls asleep, you know. But anyway, we're going to be looking at some wonderful scripture here today. And to be honest, the last time that I preached on this scripture was at a funeral for a very special woman that many of you know, and that's Auntie Ruth. It was at her memorial service in Manhattan at the main church, and I was very honored to be asked to share a few words that day. And this is the scripture that I chose. And I'm not going to be saying the same things today that I said there. Some of them are similar. But the reason that that I chose this one, or God put this on my heart really for her, was to express a life that really was filled with God's grace, showed gratitude to Him, and gave glory to His name her whole life through. And she was someone who was, you know, very active in our church here. She played piano. She went to Manhattan School of Music, my school, where I met Lee Chan, and so we're alumni there together. But she had a much larger impact than only with her music. She was a big influencer for many people even sitting here today. And so it was a privilege and a joy to be able to share with people at that memorial service what these words meant. And with her illustration. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that as we go along, and I'll inject a few things about Auntie Ruth as we go along. But let's take a look at this. The name of the sermon is The 3 G's of the Christian Life. G number one is grace. And then comes gratitude, and then comes glory. But if we look at this chapter from a little bit before that, like we heard read today, Paul says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke, we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence." So Paul is someone who is ministering to them, and he's also teaching them how to minister, right? There's sometimes we have this feeling or a sense in the Bible, you know, we're listening to something, and it's kind of abstract, or it's something nice, or, you know, it could be catchy even, you know, the 3 G's, the grace, gratitude and glory, but there's something fundamentally godly in these verses that are filled with the Holy Spirit that lift it to a whole other level, right? I listened to the sermon of Bob Engel last, who preached here last week, and he was telling you to take your faith to a new level, right? And I really like that. It's to, in these moments, not just like in moments of plenty and of wealth and things like that, but the times when you're suffering, that is the time when you really can elevate your faith, right? And bring that into a stronger place. And I really love that. And I gain from that. So that's really what Paul is saying here. He's encouraging the Ephesians, who he's probably never going to see again. It turned out he didn't. You know, he never revisited them, but he was writing them and telling them about these things. But he says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak. And so he begins here with a very fundamental part of ministry and for our Christian lives, to say to us, when we believe, we are then to speak about it.
Amen.
We are not to be quiet about it. We are not to relax and go back or to just take it in, right? Like, that was a good sermon today, or that was a good word I heard, or that was a good podcast, or that was a good, you know, Bible verse. It's like, okay, now I believe. What do I do now? I speak about it. And it really doesn't matter how you speak about it. Like, there's no professional way to do it. It's actually better when it's not that way. It's merely to hear the word of God, believe it. If you believe that Jesus is the Savior, and he came into your life and washed away your sins and gave you new life, eternal life, then God is going to use you as his witness to speak about it. And so that's what he's saying here, and it's great to read that. And that's what Auntie Ruth did. She heard about Jesus. She came to Jesus. She heard about him. She received him as her Savior, and she began to teach people about him. She spoke about him. She told people. She arranged for meetings with youth in the church and invited them to a meal and said, I want to tell you about Jesus so you can know the way to life. Right? And so that's one of the fundamental things. So easy to remember, right? I believed, and so I spoke.
Yes.
When you say that, I believe, and so I spoke. Keep that in your heart for all of your life. People need to hear about the gospel.
Yes.
And they need to hear it from you. The people in your life. It doesn't matter where you are or who it is that you're with. It could be a complete stranger.
Yep.
Or it could be a best friend. But it could be someone. It was someone who was baptized. I baptized this person. And they put it out on Facebook.
Amen.
Right? And what happened was one of the people wrote back and they said, you? And she said, yeah, why not? I thought that was such a great answer, right? I mean, she could have been intimidated, like, you know, well, yeah, I know you knew me before or something. I don't know what the person meant, but she spoke. Just by saying, yeah, why not? You know, and so she didn't close the door. She didn't say that very, maybe she did later on with that person. I hope so, but you know, there's going to be some people that say to you, you? I know a whole different person than that. You know, what's that about? And you can say, yeah, I was different. Now I'm changed because I know Jesus. And he came into my heart and I was baptized and I wish you were there. And let me tell you what happened. You know, it could be just simply like that. Let me tell you about my baptism. And you tell them about Jesus coming and washing away your sins. So it begins there. And then he goes on from here to say, and he referred to a passage, actually, when he said, as it's written, he was referring to a passage in Psalm 116. And the words are not exactly quoted by Paul, but the sense of it is that this person was believing. They had faith. Their faith was struggling, or their faith was challenged, but they believed in that moment. And so that was the result of Paul saying it here. He was referring to that Psalm 116. And so he goes on to say, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. And so that's the emphasis. That's why I speak, knowing that. Knowing that the Lord Jesus came and we will be raised like he was, and God will bring us into his presence. And then he goes on from there, verse 15, for it is all for your sake so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And so here is the crux of this message today, right? The three G's. We have the grace extends to more and more people, right? And then we have increasing thanksgiving, which is gratitude, right? This gratitude, there's other versions in the Bible that use gratitude instead of thanksgiving. And then the third one is to the glory of God. So we have those three. Can we say that? Grace.
Grace.
Grace. Gratitude.
Gratitude.
And
glory.
You could very, very safely make those your theme in life. You don't have to go and find others. You can, you know, as God leads you, and you can do that. But sometimes it's good to just stay with something that is the truth, you know, and that really works. And those three are the ones that explain it all. And so just briefly, let's talk about these three words and the meaning of them, okay? So grace. Grace is something that we have in our name. We also heard from other different people who came to our church. You have a great name for your church. I think Pastor Kong came and he said, you know, Grace Church has a great name because of the grace of Christ. And he talked to us about amazing grace. You know, so we have that theme going on from other people that have been told by God when they come to speak to us to preach on grace. It's not because we don't know what grace is, but you can never, ever say enough about the word grace. And it comes in all different kinds of shapes and sizes and forms, right? And the fundamental meaning of grace is that we receive something that's undeserved, right? And that would be the mercy of God, though. Although we have sinned against him, God sent his son and saved us. That's the grace of God in action through Jesus Christ. That is that that act that God showed to us in that kind of a way. But the word grace also has other implications. It has the implication of this. When I hear the word grace and I understand more and more and live with it, it has a sense of rest in it. It gives me a real peace in my heart. Because we anticipate in life getting some kind of a negative reaction toward us when we do something wrong, right? You prepare yourself for it. A lot of people lie because they don't want to admit to it. There's all kinds of different things that go on in our lives because we do not believe that we are going to be shown grace. You follow me?
Yep.
You say, okay, I told a lie, and I tell my mother I'm going to go do something for school. I'm going to go to the library, and then I go to my friend's house instead. Right? And you're carrying around that lie with you, and you're thinking, okay, so, you know, I told she believed me, so I'm okay. Thank goodness she didn't ask me any more questions. But it bothers you, and it starts to kind of go at you, you know, because you're thinking, well, I told her I was going to be there. And then I went somewhere else. And that's kind of like one example of what we do in different degrees in our lives when we sin, right? We tell people one thing, but we're doing something completely different. You know, I've been talking about this and thinking about this in my own life. This today happens to be Esther's birthday. We're grateful for her. It's also my mom's birthday, right? And when I think about my mother, I think of those things that go on in my mind, the things that I didn't do right, you know, when I was living at home. And so, you know, those kind of things. But she did, you know, lead me to the Lord Jesus. And so I'm grateful for her. But, you know, these kind of things come up in our lives. And we have these opportunities in our lives to do something right, and we choose the wrong way. And that is what gets us in trouble. We do something and we think we can just hide it from everyone else and just do what we think we can, you know, and it doesn't fit in with our Christian walk. But God is gently guiding us back to the truth and saying, this is the way you need to live, right? This is the way you're going to be happy. And what he's saying is that my grace is going to come into your life, and it's going to remove any fear from you so that you no longer need to lie. You don't have to lie anymore. If you mess up, if you sin, if you do something wrong, I will forgive you. I don't want you to linger in that life. I don't want you to stay away from me because you're thinking, oh, I don't want, he'll never accept me back. So there's this real peace in our hearts in knowing I can live and I can make mistakes and God still loves me. The second part is I don't want to continue to do those things because God loves me. Amen?
Amen.
But you wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want to take advantage of somebody like that. And that's really where we are in our lives. We don't want to take advantage of this grace that God has shown to us. Right? The grace of God is something that we react to and think, wow, this is so amazing. I don't have to fear anymore about, you know, doing something wrong. I know that God is loving and He's going to accept me back. Right? Just think about that for a moment. You've done something wrong and then you bring it to God and He says, you're forgiven. Put it out of your mind, move on. Don't do that anymore. Okay? But I still love you. And that's what we need to keep in mind here, right? So, the next word is gratitude. Gratitude is a great word that also has different shapes and forms in it, right? I wrote down today, having known what I was going to preach on today, I put my mother's picture up on Facebook, which I rarely do. And I put it up there and I said, I remember my mother with gratitude today. And I really felt that in my heart. It was really easy. It would have been really easy for me to think of all kinds of different things that went on in our relationship. It was a complicated one. You know, life is complicated. But the word that was given to me by the Lord is the one that I put there with intentionally so that I would mention that it is through God that I came to Christ, through my mother. And she is the one that led me to the King. Right? And so that's why I'm using that word, because God gave me that gratitude in my heart. He taught me in life that I can be forgiven. That the things that went wrong in my life, even in my relationship with my mother, are powerless in the grace of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. It's so freeing. And then you start to feel like, I'm so grateful. I'm not going to even stop there. I'm going to start thinking about other things that I'm grateful for. Right? There was a man who wrote a beautiful little testimony about gratitude. And he said, I was thinking one day, and I believe, you know, he was trying to say that God put it on his heart, this teacher that he had when he was in elementary school. And he got this idea to find her and to write her and to express how grateful he was for her teaching him in school. I guess she really was that special teacher to him. He wanted her to know that. Do you know she got the letter? He found where she lived. She got the letter from him. She wrote him back and she said, I cannot tell you how much that letter meant to me. She said, I have been living by myself for a long time. I'm older now. I'm living in a nursing home. I don't have any family left. I felt completely alone. And you are the first person of all of those 23 years that I taught in that school that wrote me a note and thanked me. Now that is powerful. Do you see the power of gratitude? Right? You can change a person's situation with it. And all it does is take Jesus. Jesus coming, if you need to be feeling grateful, and you're not, then all you need is to think about what Jesus has done for you. And it's instant gratitude. Gratitude comes into our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Thank you for being patient with me when I'm not patient with other people. Thank you for being patient with me when I've done something to hurt someone else or I've messed up in life and I've, you know, got gone astray. I did something that was, you know, not honest. Right? And then you think about Jesus forgiving you for that, and then that changes your life, and it doesn't just stop there. It's a continuing feeling and sense and godliness that we learn here, that is what we're about. And the biggest thing that gratitude does is that it helps us to be able to introduce the Savior to other people. And so it first comes grace, and the grace affects us in such a way to bring gratitude that we have been loved so deeply and changed so much by Jesus Christ that we say, I want to share it. And it takes different forms. Just like that one form of the person writing his teacher and God putting it on his heart, and he acts upon it and does that and changes in love. And she doesn't feel like she was forgotten, right? There are many people like that in life, that God puts into our life. That's why he's been telling us to reflect this summer. Not merely to reflect on ourselves, no, to reflect on others who have come into our life, that God has put in our life. And yes, even here in Grace Church, the people that we see each week, that we don't take one another for granted, that we show a grateful heart, that we show that love to people, you know, in ways that we appreciate them, and it all feeds in from Jesus. It all feeds in from God, who has shown such grace to us. He is the only one existing in the world that can do that. You can't find it from any human being. Right? It's Jesus who teaches us what grace is all about, and that's why we sing that. And it affected John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. Having thrown thousands of people into slavery and causing the deaths of all these innocent people in the slave trade. And then he wrote down that. What kind of a grace is that that saves a wretch like me, someone who would do such an awful thing in life, and yet he has shown his love to me. And that's where all these songs come from. Right? That these things that come into our minds that we're listening to. What was the one that you guys thought of? Our Lord God, right? These kind of things are brought into being by people who have been affected by the grace of God. And they put these melodies in our hearts, just like Paul is talking about here, right? So that is the gratitude. The gratitude results in us wanting to tell someone else those things. And if you can't do that, then maybe just take some time and very patiently pray to God and ask him to change your heart so that you do understand what that means. Right? To have that kind of gratitude. Because sometimes, you know, it's really hard. You could be super mad at somebody. You could be really fed up, you know, and you're going through things and you feel like you're all alone. But many times, it's not the other person. It's you. You're the one that is going through all of that. You're the one that is causing all of that upset in your mind because you're not receiving the grace of God. It causes obedience. Don't feel pushed into it. It's just this feeling of rest that this is what I need. You know, this is what I need to be at peace at. You know, so it's kind of like taking a vacation and you feel rested, and then you come back and you feel like a human being again. And then you're talking to people in a much different way, and they're like, "Wow, you're a lot different." You know, and so you feel like that when God comes into your life and brings grace. I'm a lot different because Jesus loves me, man.
Amen.
He loves me so much that he gave his life for me and died, and I don't have to do anything for it. There's no cost involved except giving him my life. And I gladly do that because he deserves it. I know now that he is the reason for life. And so I want to share that with you. And that's what Auntie Ruth did. She received Jesus. She was filled with gratitude. And she shared that with many people. That was her life focus. The last word is not the least, it's glory. And this is a word that also sometimes can be misunderstood or maybe, you know, a little bit vague to people. When we say things like that, we could hear someone say glory to God, and where does that come from? But it really comes from here, right? It comes from here, that Jesus is teaching us this through Paul. So grace extends to more and more people. We're sharing the gospel, right? Through us, we are extending grace through our lives and our speaking about it. We believe in it and we speak about it, so it extends to more and more people. It increases thanksgiving, so there are a lot more people that are grateful in this world and feeling thankful in this world because they have been introduced to the grace of God, right? And so that is the effect we are going to have on other people. That when we share Jesus' grace, and we're grateful for it, then other people are going to receive that grace and be grateful. And then they continue that in their lives to reach out to people God puts in their lives so that they can have it. Isn't it wonderful? It's a great thing. You're given this task, and it's like a win-win. It's a win-win-win because there are three G's, right? But that's the gist of it, right? And then to what? To the glory of God. And that's what we lift up. We realize that our eyes are open and we see the way the effect that Jesus has on people, and we can't help but say, glory to God. You know, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I can see the glory of God before me. Stephen, before he was killed, saw Jesus, right? The glory of God in front of him, and his face was like that of an angel, and they killed him, but he was in the presence of Jesus already. It didn't matter what happened to his body because he was in the presence of God. And these are the things that we want to do. We want to shine and shine. We want to have that come through us, that glory of God. Right? So he goes on from there and says, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And for this light momentary affliction, the suffering that we go through in this life is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So this eternal weight of glory is a very, very amazing verse. It's one that is famous and people have preached on it and talked about it. Why not we? Right? You could talk about that with people. Use the verses in the Bible that are known for having an effect on people, a special effect. I know all the verses can do that, and God can, but there are specific ones that have a greater weight, it seems, in life, that have affected people's lives, and that's one of them. The weight of glory, an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. There's nothing that can compare with the glory of God that awaits us and those who are believers in Jesus Christ. That should lift us from any kind of situation into one that is filled with glory. Amen? As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. We are not going to be just looking at the world around us here and thinking that's it. We see beyond that. We see beyond all the things that are happening around us. And it's not an escape. It's not an escape, it's a means of bringing God into these situations. These words are given to us so that we can be that deliverer of this good news, that there are things that you cannot see that God is doing, even in the midst of all of these troubles. And don't give up if people say, yeah. You have to keep going with it.
Yep.
You have to be persistent.
Yep.
You have to be patient. You have to maybe shut up for a little while and let things sink into people and then continue the conversation another time, not forfeiting your relationship with them. Continuing on with people where they are, meet them where they are, and continue to be their friend, continue to be their companion, continue to be the Lord Jesus Christ in their life.
Amen.
To be that representative that you are given authority to be. I was reading an article on the plane the other day about someone writing that it's like, sit there and shut up. A lot of times people just need somebody to be with them. They just need somebody to be with them. They don't need somebody preaching at them. But they need somebody to show compassion. They need somebody to be there and share their life. And if they're going through something and you get the sense of the Holy Spirit saying to you, this is not the best moment to talk about, you know, things that they need to do. Just listen to them and take in their lives. That's what I'm talking about with this word grace. It extends. It's not just one thing or one scenario. It's not just preaching the word or speaking it, but it's speaking through action, speaking through silence, right? Speaking in whichever way that God gives you, and you grow into that as life goes on, right? We have to remember that we're in school. Right? With Christ. We are being taught these things. It's not just like one kind of throw it in, you know, pour it into you and then you're set to go. It's a continual, lifelong process. And when you understand that, then it gives you a lot of rest too. I don't have to be at all right now. But I do want to pursue these things of God in this kind of a way. So glory to God is really expressing His presence, His light. The things that God brings into darkness, the gospel itself, right, is the glory of God that He would send His Son into the world to die this terrible death. That He doesn't just stay up there and watch everything happen, but He gets involved in our lives, right? And so we want to give glory to Him. How can you do that? If you play an instrument, you can say, from now on, when I practice, I'm going to practice every note as and lifting that note up to God in glory. To God be the glory. Doesn't matter how you're playing it. You want to improve and you want to practice. But it's to God. God is the focus of my music making now. Right? A second way would be if you're in athletics. It's the athletics that you do. We have a wealth of athletes now who are standing up for Jesus Christ in the midst of all these things that are going on in the world, and they are saying, Jesus is the reason I'm doing this. To God be the glory. They're saying it.
Yep.
Right? They heard it, they speak it, and they show it, and their lives are reflecting it. They don't care. They know that at some point they're going to, you know, not be the same athlete that they once were. But they're using the opportunities now that God gives them on, you know, whichever way that they have to speak about him and to give him glory that way. It's not about me. It's about God. And I don't know how he wants to use this, but I'm doing it for him. Mm-hmm. Do that in your life and you will be on safe ground.
Yeah.
You'll be doing great. Just say, I'm going, Lord, I want to give you my life. And please use me for your glory.
Mm-hmm.
Please me, when I'm taking this test at school, let it be for your glory. You know, don't think too deeply about it. Work hard, study hard, do the things that you need to do in life, but get into God's Word. Get into God's Word, pray, get into groups of people where you can worship together and that you can grow together, you can be challenged by other people. You need to really involve yourself that kind of a way. Right? And find a place where people are really glorifying God. And use that. Right, those opportunities that God gives to you to express this. So we have the grace of God shown in Jesus Christ coming into our lives like that and dying for our sins, giving us eternal life. We believe in that and we speak about it. But the second part is that we are filled with gratitude that God means that to us and that he has done that for us. And that results in us being grateful or showing that gratitude to other people. And also showing God that we are grateful to him by being grateful, showing gratefulness to other people. And then also centering ourselves around glory. And it goes on beyond that. When we die, and all of us will die one day, we can expect to be in the glory of God in his presence forever.
Amen.
And that is our life. That is a Christian. Those are the three essential G's of the faith that we have. In Christ Jesus, right, that God has given to us today. So use those, brothers and sisters, and meditate on these verses. But let me go back just for a moment and add one thing that God really wants us to know here today. Again, these concepts and that the grace of God in your life and then talking about being grateful and giving God the glory can tend sometimes to be, you know, words that you hear and you don't fully understand yet. But hopefully this part that Paul wrote in the beginning of this chapter will help you to have a little bit more of a grip. You know, we've been talking about looking for something in God's Word that is going to help us avoid just kind of feeling like we're at a certain level of understanding. But it deepens our understanding of what God is talking about, right? Just like if you work in a job, you may not know how to do it at the beginning, but through hard work and through years of experience, you know you're on a different level than when you first began. Now I can actually be at the point where I can tell somebody else how to do this work because I have gone through that trial. You know, I've gone through that hardship and now I know my occupation. I know what I'm doing. So I can tell you confidently, or at least some matter of confidence, I know what I'm doing. So Paul says this at the beginning of chapter 4. If you want to look there, it's chapter 4 that we were just in, but it says this. Therefore, having this ministry, Paul is talking about people, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. So he's talking about this ministry that they're doing, right? That they're involved with. So that gives us a little bit more of an inkling of what we're talking about, that we see ourselves as ministers. But listen to the kind of things that he's telling us are necessary when you go into ministry. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. I envision Paul coming in to a church, and All these people were coming together who were participants in the ministry of the church. And he said, this is what you need to do. Does he start with the task? Okay, so I want you to really memorize the three G's. Grace, I want you to know what gratitude is, and I want you to give God the glory, okay? Can you do that? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And they're thinking, how do you do that? And he starts by saying, we have to do what? Renounce disgraceful, underhanded ways. So I speak to you today as fellow ministers of God's Word in the Church of Grace Church. We need to renounce disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's Word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. What he's saying here is that we have to, this is the way we approach things, and I hope that we can take this into the new semester that we're approaching. You want to be a good student? Renounce anything that is going to be sinful in your life. I know you're going to be given all kinds of advice. You're going to be given all kinds of things. You're going to go to college and you're going to hear, this is what we do. This is the campus. This is all these are the classes. You're expected to do this. You have to keep this average to be able to continue on. You're going to be doing, this is where you're going to eat. This is where you're going to be doing these things. You're going to be, you know, your professors expect these kind of things. You're going to get a syllabus. And the syllabus is going to tell you this, these are the expectations here, and you're going to be looking at that and you're taking it in. But as a Christian, your attitude is this. The first day I get there, I get on my knees and I say, Lord, I renounce sin in my life. You can't imagine what the difference will be. Because pretty soon what's going to happen is there's going to be people that come by and they want your time. And there's going to be voices that come in, and there's going to be pretty girls, and there's going to be handsome boys, and there's going to be all kinds of different things that are coming in, and you're taking it in, and you're thinking, what do I do? And you come back to God's word here from our brother Paul, who's saying to you, if you want to go in school and you're a Christian, then this is the attitude that you need. You have to renounce disgraceful and underhanded ways. Now you may think I'm crazy for saying that.
Nope.
But I don't believe I am. I believe what God is trying to say to us in not just those who are going to school, but ministering in Grace Church. We need to be more than just writing down what we're going to talk about and running the books and the different things that we're planning through this year. And also for me as a pastor to plan the sermons that I'm going to talk about and all these different things. It has to begin with God.
Yep.
And it begins with my own life and my own growth as a Christian with Him. Do I understand the cost of His grace? Am I grateful in my heart so that I am careful the way that I live and I do not partake in anything that is going to threaten that? Am I trying to talk myself into anything that I know in my heart of hearts is wrong before God and doing it anyway and then continuing to minister to other people? God can't have it. We have to have that attitude when we minister, right? We renounce anything that is disgraceful and underhanded, and there's plenty of it out there. Things that are disgraceful, things that are underhanded, things that are not of God. We have to look at our souls, and we have to understand how important it is to live lives that are going to reflect Him first. Refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. Some people had been cunning that he ran into at that time, and they were deceiving people, and they were tampering with God's word and writing things that weren't true, twisting it and saying, you know, this is what we should do instead of what you've been teaching. And Paul is calling them out, and he's saying, but this is not just, it's not just them, it's we. We are renouncing all that life of sin like that. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And so, These three words have that impact, right? The grace of God, the gratitude that we show because we love God and we appreciate Him, and also we give glory to Him. But all of those really are captured in this beginning statement. That's where he goes from to let us know that we really need to watch our hearts and keep them pure. How do you do that? Well, we just read God's word, and it told us that here. And that's what we do each day, is we read God's word, and we are taught by him. One of the thoughts that I had today was, I was sitting in the house next door, and my wife came in. I hadn't seen her in the morning yet, and she said, "Good morning." And I was in the middle of writing my devotional that I send every day, you know. And she came in, and I said, "Good morning," and she said, "Good morning," but my thought wasn't on my wife, it was on the devotional, you know. So I was halfway saying good morning and half in the, you know, and it's probably defendable to some extent. But I started thinking more about it, so I went to her later on, and I greeted her in the right way by not looking at the computer and not looking at things that were in front of me. And I really think that God wanted me to share that with you today, because that's kind of like where we are in this world. It's like, "Hi, how you doing?" And you're just like so enraptured in what you're reading on your phone, right? That people they take second place, right? And so that is something, you know, we really do have to deal with that.
Yeah.
We have to understand the importance of putting something down and having a conversation with someone who means something to you, actually more than anything else in the world. And yet we're torn because we're so holding on to whatever it is that is being told to us on our phone, right? So that's just one example, but I want to share that's what I'm talking about here. We do that with God too, don't we? Right? We're kind of like, okay, I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to do this work, and then I have to make a plan for what I'm doing at church, and I'm doing all these different things. But do we really just turn it all off and give him our full attention? And I think that that's a really good way to start, you know, in this way of going about our lives. To think about him the next time we feel like we want to be tempted to do something wrong. Right? To develop our relationships so that we are no longer making people wait before we text them back. That's gratitude. That's gratitude to God. You know, and we've all done it. It's the world that we live in, but it uncovers the ugliness of sin to say, "I know that I'm supposed to come. I know that this person is waiting to hear from me, but I'm too involved in what I'm doing here to even just to tell them that I'm busy." And so there's all of this stuff going around in our world of this unknowingness, and Satan is using that because he loves to come between people and feed our thoughts like, "They don't care about me," or "They are this or that," because they're not communicating with me right away. But I think, actually, we need to be learning more than just saying that Satan is trying to do that. We need to start being people, that we're created for God's glory. And we need to be there for each other. And sometimes, you know, you may think that I'm over-exaggerating, but I can tell you that most of my time is wondering what people are doing and what they're thinking. And I don't plan on letting that happen anymore. I don't plan on at least not addressing it anymore. You know? But that is a big problem in our society today. And that's one of some of the things that we're talking about here. We have to look in our hearts and think, how are we treating each other? Am I going to extend the time to somebody and show them really, you know, what they mean to me? By making that kind of a choice, by putting down my phone, by saying I'm going to dedicate myself to even saying good morning to my wife and my children or my boss or whoever it is that I'm with to say that I don't care about that part as much as I do about you. There's a girl that played, a woman who played on the championship team in the Olympics for the women's basketball team. And she was interviewed the other day for a game that they were playing against the Liberty. She plays for Chicago, and they were Las Vegas, and they were playing against the Liberty in New York. The first quarter, her team was really, really aggressive, and they were doing really well, and it looked like, wow, this is going to be so easy for them to beat the Liberty. The second quarter comes around, and things change completely around, so that the Liberty pretty much commanded the rest of the game, and they dominated them the rest of the game. But in the before the third quarter, they had an interview with their center, with the woman I was just mentioning, played for the Olympic team. And they went up to her, and they said, what happened, you know, between the first and the second quarter is that your team is just not playing well anymore, right? And she said, tenacity. She said, we played with tenacity. We played with energy. We played with a togetherness. We played with this. And she said, it's not about X's and O's. It's not about like, okay, let's follow this formula to be able to go it. She said, it has to do with our hearts. And she got really, really upset talking to the woman who asked her that question. You could see that she really cared about winning that game, and she cared about the way that they were living in their lives. And I think that's what God expects from us. It's not about X's and O's. Read this Bible verse. Read chapter 4 in Corinthians and memorize it, and then you'll be good. Or just believe in Jesus, and then everything is going to be there. It takes tenacity. Amen. It takes a heart that is not just caring about the X's and O's. It means turning off your phone when somebody is talking to you and that wants to say hello to you and greet you. It means giving each other their due and caring. And you know what that means? Love. Love, love, love. There's a lack of love in the world, and God is calling us out on it today. Grace. His grace is a powerful thing. It caused him to give all that he had for us. Everything. Everything. Right? That, just to imitate that girl the way she was talking. That she feels like this is not just the game. We're here together as a team, and we stopped. And that's what we need to make sure that we're doing in Grace Church. Even if it upsets you, it makes you start to dig into those areas where you're like saying, I'm sorry, but I think we can be doing better. Right? And that's what he's telling them here. He's filled with that kind of a passion. Love one another. Practice grace. Give glory to God. I'm not going to be around here much longer. I'm telling you that this is the way that churches need to function. This is what it's all about, because God gave his best for you and me. Isn't that awesome to have someone like that, to be taught these things by Paul, that feels so into it, not just like, good luck with these things, my good people, and may God's peace be with you, and, you know, you're off on your own, and you can find meaning in life in the universe, and just follow that. No, he says you're talking about Jesus, who gave his life, came here, lived here, died here, rose here, lives again, coming again. We're going to meet him, and our lives are given to him. Amen. And that's what it means to celebrate communion. We come into this thinking, yes, this is the special time that we share together in communion, coming together, eating the bread, remembering Christ our Savior, drinking that cup, knowing that his blood poured out on the cross for us. I can do better. Can you? I can do better in loving you. And with God's grace, we can make that our goal today with these three G's. That they're all signifying Jesus. They're all about Jesus. That's just like we were singing today. Grace. And then you say, in another way, grace. And then you say, great gratitude. And another way, gratitude. And then another way, glory. And another way you say it is, glory. And that's what a life is all about. That's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to be the Church of Christ. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this word today that personifies Christ, that comes from Christ, that is all about Jesus. God, we pray that you'll help us to renounce evil, to renounce sin, to see every aspect of our lives being yours. And it's to you we give glory. Help us to have a proclaiming kind of faith, one that does not close mouth, but it is open mouth, just like it was said in the Bible, just like Auntie Ruth. It must have been hard for her to go and to sit down with young people, being an older person like she was, but she was sent by you. And she followed that command. And she put aside all of her fears that she would be rejected by a young person. And she led them to Christ. God, we thank you. Thank you for others here today who have that spirit. And I pray, Father, that no matter where we are, what level that we are in our church, that we are going to see this day as a transitional day in our church, a transformative day of revival, and one where we take each other seriously, and it begins by taking you seriously. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your glory. We give thanks to you with our hearts of gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.